KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Well, certainly the news continues all around us as to the matters that are taking place across this nation and around the world. And friends, there are some significant things that have happened, and sometimes little things that we don't even know about. And certainly the impact that they have upon us as a nation are certainly dramatic. We see what's taking place right now, even in the matter of communities, our entities, states, municipalities signing these ban on conversion therapies, and over it's being touted as to where this is taking place in communities and or states around the country. We are also seeing the amount of glee that is taking place in that. We also just learned from Sharam Hadian today as well regarding the issues that are going on with the influx of Islam all across this nation and how in particular, the Islamization of America is going forth with Muslims going into what he calls hyper-political drive, so to speak. He is a former Muslim, and the many stories coming forth that the Muslims and Muslim Brotherhood are going hyper-political with a sign of preparation for the upper house. That is where they get the upper hand across the United States of America. Certainly, the issues that are going forth, even with candidates that are running for office, we're seeing this take place even in the state of Michigan right now, as one espousing Islam is running for governor in the state of Michigan and running on a platform of fighting inequality in all forms and protecting a woman's right to choose and eliminate gender pay gap and on those lists go, including things like funding and implementing universal pre-kindergarten, amending civil rights legislation to enumerate protections for LGBTQ+ Michiganders, and on the list goes. And so you see the tidal waves that are hitting against this nation, marijuana legalization and so forth. So these are issues that are coming down the pike here, folks, and we need to be alert and ready for these very matters that are taking place across the United States and around the world. So, again, we address these issues here in Crosstalk to keep you informed on these critical, critical issues. And certainly the issues that are before us are critical. Let me mention we are seeking to make connection with our guest who's in the United Kingdom today as we talk about evidence for the Bible. We're seeking to make connection with him. Until that time, though, let me just share that we've got some important other issues to make you aware of. Here, there was a bill just signed Tuesday of this week that bans the use of taxpayer funds for paintings of government officials. Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's called the Eliminating Government-Funded Oil Painting Act, but the acronym is the EGO Act. The EGO Act. That no funds appropriated or otherwise made available to the federal government may be used to pay for the painting of a portrait of an officer or employee of the federal government, including the president, the vice president, a member of Congress, the head of an executive agency, the head of an office of the legislative branch. So this came forth in January 2017. Senator Bill Cassidy put that forth. But I think that's a great name for it, the EGO Act, eliminating government-funded oil paintings. And certainly this is something that they found were costing just huge bucks. April 2013, reports that the Environmental Protection Agency spent $38,350 on a portrait of then-EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. According to another report cited by the Washington Post, the Obama administration spent nearly $400,000 on portraits of officials between 2010 and 2013. So that issue certainly is one that the Trump administration has put a stop to. Well, folks, these are issues that go on, and so we address them here on Crosstalk on VCY. And right now we're going to connect here to our guest. And let me just say this as we introduce our guest. And we talk about the Bible, folks. How many times have you heard the accusations claiming the Bible cannot possibly be true due to all the historical inaccuracies? Well, along comes archaeology. that throws dramatic light on the biblical record. And as you turn over the very soil of history, much evidence springs forth that authenticates the people, the places, even the events of Scripture. So much of this has been documented and bound in a beautiful, beautiful book called Evidence for the Bible. Now, joining us today is Clive Anderson. Clive is a Christian minister. He's author of numerous books and articles on historical and biblical subjects, including the prophet Nahum and Sennacherib of Assyria. He's co-authored with Brian Edwards the popular Through the British Museum with the Bible. He's also author of Travel with C.H. Spurgeon, other books on travel to Israel and Egypt. He has co-authored with his wife. He regularly leads tours of the British Museum and to Israel, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, Italy, and Greece. Before entering Christian ministry, he was a civil structural engineering draughtsman, but he lives in the U.K. with us today. We were glad we're connected and co-authored the fascinating book, Evidence for the Bible. Clive, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, young man. Thank you.
Great. Well, Clive, as you are aware, there is a lot of skepticism to the scriptures today. They are said to be unreliable, that they're void of historical accuracy. But you, on the other hand, have found some great evidence for the Bible. You co-author this book providing this evidence. And before we get into all the details, give us an overview of this book, Evidence for the Bible, and what brought this about.
Well, it came about because we try to be what we call popularizers. We're not great academics like some men. And we wanted people to understand that the scriptures are true, that they can be relied upon, and that the evidence is just vast. There's so much of it has been discovered. And so we tried to produce a book where we've got an item a page. So you don't have to go reading, if you don't want to, all the way through it in one go.
Mm-hmm.
So it just shows you all the different things from almost Genesis to Revelation. You know, we touch on many books of the Bible.
Help us understand archaeology. When did looking for ancient artifacts really become of interest?
Well, people have always looked for evidence for the Bible in different ways, but it really took off with Napoleon Bonaparte when he was in Egypt, and he saw the most wonderful things, and from that developed many different institutions, some very fine ones in the United States of America, as well as here in the UK, and they started really to try and find things to put in the museums. So you've got some great museums in the United States full of evidence for the Bible.
Wow. What is the earliest discovery, the item that's been dated the very earliest in our history?
Well, that's a very good question. We don't really know because a lot of things have yet to be deciphered. The British and everybody else sort of started gathering things up, and it's slowly being put together. For instance, in the British Museum, we have the earliest known map in the world, which comes from Babylon. Surprisingly, they put Babylon at the center of the world.
Mm.
But it's, you know, just before the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So who knows? But, you know, you go right the way back through history and you can see the most amazing things that have been proven to be true.
We have been told that places like Sodom and Gomorrah, just myth and legend, but you've got evidence in your book that states otherwise.
Well, yes, and even our museums now do it. So, for instance, you've mentioned the British Museum. They actually have one display and say, this is Sodom of the Bible, which is quite incredible for an institution like that to say such things. And, yes, it's one or two places you can identify, probably, but I don't think there's any doubt now in the scholarly world that Sodom and Gomorrah actually existed.
Clive Anderson is our guest here today. He has co-authored the book Evidence for the Bible, and so often, as it's been told over and over, Moses could not possibly have been, written the first five books of the Bible because writing did not go back that far, but there's some interesting discoveries that may tell us otherwise.
Oh, yes, there are lots that go right back now, and in Iraq to the Sumerian culture, obviously in Egypt with hieroglyphs, and yes, the more people study, the more they just shed light on the fact that Moses could very easily, and I believe he did, write the first five books. The only bit he didn't write, I don't think, was a bit about his own death, and mm-hmm. Someone filled that in for us. But I don't think there's any doubt at all, and it's interesting that Jesus kept quoting in the New Testament that Moses said this and Moses said that. So he had no doubt that Moses authored them.
Well, what is the earliest writing that we have found?
It's either in Iraq or Egypt. Scholars debate it, and again, it depends when you date things. Obviously, the further back you go, the more difficult it becomes. I'm what's known as a young earth man. I believe that the Bible teaches that God created in 6 days. There was the great catastrophe of the flood, and everything that came out of that. But certainly, it depends when you date the flood, of course, but mm-hmm. certainly 3000 BC would be easily a date that we could go to.
So for writings?
Yes.
Okay.
But again, it depends on when you date the flood, of course.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And certainly we would hold to young earth as well. And I know that much evidence has pointed to those very aspects. We know also that there's, you know, just so much skepticism in this world today. Have you found any archaeological proof, even to the reality of Joseph in Egypt?
Well, I think you can see from what took place in Egypt. I know the archaeologist David Roll thinks he found an actual statue of Joseph. It takes a lot of convincing with the archaeological world to actually get them to believe this, but I don't think there's any doubt that we will find things mm-hmm. to do with all the biblical characters, because many of them have come to light.
We know the Israelites were in bondage to the Egyptians. They were forced to make bricks, and the Bible says straw was used. You actually have a picture in your book of such a brick.
That's right, yes. And it's it depends, when you date the Exodus, but it shows that they did build bricks like this. And if you go to Egypt today, still in the rural, the villages, you'll still see them making bricks like that.
My. When we were talking about the writings, define for us, what is cuneiform?
It's known as the dagger or the wedge script. It's a script that's used for many different languages, a bit like Roman script is used for English, French, etc. And the most famous one, I think, for me, is what's known as the New Akkadian language, which is the Apostle Paul's example of speaking in tongues. He gives us in 1 Corinthians 14. So I'm very thrilled by that, because Paul drives us back to Isaiah 28 and then to the law of God in Deuteronomy 28. And he says that men of strange tongues will come against us and if we don't follow the Lord. And that is what we see there in the cuneiform script, the New Akkadian language.
Well, what is the oldest text of Scripture that's been found?
That, again, is in debate. They think there's some that have just been uncovered in Israel. Again, it's difficult to date the Old Testament because the Jewish practice, which you see at a place like Masada, is when a scroll became unusable, they never destroyed it. They just buried it in the ground, and it naturally disintegrated. So it is difficult sometimes of trying to date accurately, but certainly a few hundred years before Christ, they've got different fragments.
Clive Anderson is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He's co-author of the book Evidence for the Bible. A little bit later in the program, we'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of the book. But much more to discuss after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why do scientific dating methods seem to indicate that the world has a vast age?
Chris, in most dating efforts, you must observe a present-day process and the state of that system affected by that process. Then you conclude how long it would take for that process to produce the present state. The main assumption is that the rate of that process has never been much different than it is now. For instance, we might date the Mississippi Delta by estimating how long it would take for the Mississippi River to bring enough silt down to build up that huge delta. But if a great flood had occurred in the past, the rate of delta buildup might have been much different than today. If we include Noah's flood in our thinking, then most dating techniques actually give a date far too young to allow for evolution to occur. They're consistent with the biblical doctrine of the young earth, the one we read about back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and once you put this book in your hand, Evidence for the Bible, you just cannot put it down. It is one that speaks so many volumes to you as to these finds from archaeology, and certainly to see the evidence that they provide for the very things that skeptics have said cannot exist. Well, we're talking about this today with the co-author of the book, Clive Anderson. And Clive, do these discoveries, do what we find in archaeology, do they help us in dating? Do they help us put together a chronology?
Yes, they do, very much so, because you can date with different things. Depends how you pronounce it, but they have things connected with Halley's or Halley's Comet,
mm-hmm.
and we know how often that comes around, and they date things from that time. They actually, in the cuneiform, they say, you know, we've seen the comet in the sky, and so-and-so happens from there, so you can date other things from it. So it's quite accurate. You can certainly go back to, I think it's 663 BC, with great confidence. After that, you have to be just a little bit careful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's amazing that we can put this time frame together.
Well, for some time, and we'll talk about some of these things, sometime the only reference to the Hittites came from the Bible. So some scholars even questioned the existence of the Hittites, but there's some discoveries that have told us otherwise.
Oh, very much so. They found a capital city at a place called Bozoskoe, in Turkey, and it's a huge empire. It's difficult to know exactly why it ceased to be, but it obviously appears throughout the Old Testament, the different Hittites, and most famously the man that King David ordered to die, Uriah the Hittite. So we've got these wonderful things that build up a background for us, so we can see their culture and how different they were from the Jews.
So is there anything specific to Uriah that's been found, or we're talking about the Hittites in general?
Hittites in general, although if you go to Amman, the capital of Jordan, you'll see the remains of the old city there. We do have to be careful what we claim, but you see some of the walls still in existence, and one wonders whether or not one of those walls was the one where he was killed when David asked, or gave the order that the other troops would leave him isolated. So it's amazing to actually visit these places if you can.
Is there any archaeological evidence for the time period of the Judges?
Yeah, I think there is. When you go to places, the Philistine cities, or Philistine, do you say in America?
you'll hear it both ways.
Yeah, English.
Sure.
But, yes, you go to places like Ashkelon and you go down, and certainly they think they've now identified where Goliath came from, the actual site of Gath. And so there's a lot there, and we know what was going on in the ancient world at that time, so you can build up a framework, which is quite marvelous.
Hezekiah's Tunnel, you've got some photography from that, but it's on page 66 in your book. Tell us about it.
Well, the great king Sennacherib was, like a lot of the ancient Assyrian kings, he wanted to get the gold of Egypt. And on the way down, because Hezekiah had been implicated in a rebellion, he was going to remove Judah, which, if he had done, humanly speaking, would have meant that the Messiah couldn't have been born. So the staggering thing is, when we consider that whole campaign, is what did not happen, and that's Jerusalem did not fall. But Hezekiah made all these different plans. He knew this huge army was coming, and because there's no natural water supply in the ancient world to Jerusalem, he built this tunnel so that they could actually have fresh water come into the city. And it's an amazing thing to walk through. If ever you get a chance, do go through it.
My. And folks, this is really what brings the Bible to life, even as perhaps you've not made a trip, but just seeing these full-color photographs that are part of this book. Let me just mention, this is a hardcover book. This is like a coffee table book. You know what I mean by that, folks, where you can put it out on display. You can sit down, pick it up, look at it, and you can read a page or two and pick it up the next time and just pick up where you left off. I mean, it is that easy. You don't have to read it through from cover to cover, but just to pick it up and to see the certainly the artifacts that have been uncovered, unearthed, to see the proofs that have come forth, and from various time periods as well. It is full color photography in the book. It's approximately 250 pages long, and we are offering this through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $30 or more. Again, this is a hardcover book. Not only can you pick this up time and time again, but what a testimony to your children or grandchildren as they come to your home to pick this up and say, hey, what is this? And Clive, this is something that really will point people to the authenticity of what Scripture says.
Yes, we hope so. And we hope also it will help any who teach the Bible, Sunday school or preachers or whatever, because in the back we have an extensive scripture index and subject index. So if you're preaching on something, you can see if it's illustrated. And that often helps if you can tell people, well, you can see what this looks like.
And folks, again, we're making this available our way of saying thank you for your support of $30 or more. That includes shipping. And it's available online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. This is not heavily technical, folks. And that's one thing I appreciate, Clive. The average layperson can pick up this book and is going to gain benefit from it.
This is what we hope. We hope that, it's a terrible term, but ordinary Christians will gain real confidence that the Bible is true.
Yes, amen.
And, you know, that they can actually say to people, well, look, this is true. To misquote the Lord Jesus, forgive me for doing this, but the stones cry out.
Hmm.
You know, this is the evidence. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
And we all need to make a decision, don't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk about some more of the evidences, because there have been those who have been skeptical that kings or rulers existed, but there have been a number of seals of kings and rulers that have been found.
There have indeed, and a recent one, I don't know if you've heard about it, is of Isaiah the prophet in Jerusalem. They've actually found that, they announced it just recently, and that is quite astonishing. So, yes, many of the kings, we don't doubt they existed now, because we have what we call extra-biblical information about them, that is information outside the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, again, it's just, it really is overwhelming, it's quite staggering.
And we find that the Bible was true all along.
Very much so, yes. It's quite an irony, really, that we get all this. Back in the Victorian era, the German higher critics criticized the Bible for being fictitious, and they used a king called Sargon, who's Sennacherib's father, because he only appeared in the Bible once in Isaiah 20, verse 1. And so they produced all these volumes saying the Bible was rubbish, unreliable, you couldn't trust it. As soon as they were published, out of the ground, this king who supposedly didn't exist appears. So we just don't know what exciting development will take place with another turn of the spade somewhere.
Has anybody found anything pertaining to the time of Jeremiah?
They found, yes. Again, sorry, it's in the British Museum. They actually discovered someone who's mentioned in the book of Jeremiah called Nebo-Sarsekim, who was Nebuchadnezzar's right-hand man. So you just got a little clay inscription that sits there saying it belonged to him. So it was a shame, really, because on the British news, about 7 years ago, it said, this clay tablet proves the Bible is right. Whereas I would have preferred them to say, the Bible proves the clay tablet.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned Nebuchadnezzar, so items have been found from the time of King Nebuchadnezzar,
the time
of Daniel?
Yes, there's a huge amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so by implication, Daniel as well. And it's absolutely thrilling. You know, you can fill in quite a lot of that reign of Nebuchadnezzar and how significant he was. And he was really a very mighty king. I know it says there in the scriptures, doesn't it, almost like there was none greater in the ancient world at that time. Well, I think Solomon might have been, but it depends what you mean by great, of course.
Right. Clive Anderson, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, the book's available at vcyamerica.org or by calling us at 800-729-9829, 800-729-9829. Clive, there was a very important find in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes. They were quite remarkable in that they illustrated for us very much the background of the Bible and some of the books of the Bible as well, they discovered. And so it has helped enormously in the study of the biblical period, especially the Old Testament, of course. And again, I'm sorry because it's such a long way to go for you, but if ever you get to Jerusalem, do go and see them because they're on display and it's very remarkable when you look at them.
They are. We've had a display come to our area museum for a limited time, and just fascinating to see the pieces, the fragments, and even the Isaiah scroll. What a fascinating item to see.
Yeah, very much so.
And we've talked a lot about during the period of the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, certainly much more has been unearthed, and even coins with the image of Caesar Augustus.
Oh, yes, coins and statues. We've got all sorts of things of Caesar Augustus, Tiberius, who was ruling when Jesus ministered and died, was buried, rose again and ascended. We've even got coins of Pontius Pilate, which is quite astonishing to see.
Mm.
And to think that this man, who a lot of people didn't trust, was trying to sort of publicize how wonderful he was by producing these little coins.
My. And so we have, in essence, an image of what perhaps Pilate looked like.
Well, on his, funnily enough, he didn't put his image on it, which is a shame for us, but he put on a shepherd's crook, because in the ancient world, shepherd was one of the great titles of all kings and monarchs. And so when Jesus in John chapter 10 says, "I am the good shepherd," I don't know what it's like with you, but very often over here we have images of Jesus with sheep in a little sheep pen.
Yes.
But no, he's referring to all his people through all time. It's an incredible title. And so Pilate was trying to say, don't believe the bad press about me. I really am a good man. You can trust.
Wow. I understand also even a census of the entire Roman world was unearthed.
Yes, we've got one in what's called the British Library, after the time of Augustus, but it shows that this was the practice. This is what they did, because basically the emperor wanted to know how many people there were and how much tax they should be paying him, because he wanted to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Any evidences of the crucifixion?
Well, it's funny enough, there's very little evidence for crucified remains, and yet no one will doubt that someone died. There is the heel bone of a young man that has been discovered, but I think because there are so many references to it that no one actually dismisses it as being fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But the Romans did this, and it was a terrible death.
Clive Anderson is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and we're going to open our phone lines. If you have a question you would like to ask, certainly we're talking about evidence for the Bible and just to see what's been unearthed by the shovels of history here, folks. And every time that shovel goes into the ground, certainly we have found great proofs that the Bible is exactly what it says it is. It's the Word of God. These things did happen. There's historical accuracy. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking today with Clive Anderson. He's in the UK. We appreciate his staying up later here this evening. It is evening. What time is it right now in the UK?
It's 8:30.
8:30, okay.
Yes, it's not too late.
So it's 6 hours beyond us here. And talking about the book that he's co-authored with Brian Edwards called Evidence for the Bible. And again, folks, it is a fascinating book. Let me just ask you a couple more questions here, and we'll get to some phone calls. You also present in the book some artifacts, some information, even about the time of the Apostle Paul.
Yes, there's quite a lot from his time and the different places he visited and different people that he actually refers to in his letters, and also the Acts of the Apostles. So it's, again, it's just very wonderful, all the different things that have been discovered for us.
Is there anything, Clive, that has been discovered that really stands out in your mind more above other things, something that's some discovery that's really fascinated you the most?
Well, the one in the Old Testament is what's known as the Lachish Reliefs. Lachish was the supply city at the time of Sennacherib, and at Nineveh, which is next to Mosul, there were all these wonderful wall reliefs of it, and we've got them now in the British Museum. And you can see them there. Another thing is at Caesarea on the coast in Israel, they found the first known inscription about Pontius Pilate. People said he never existed, and there is his name on quite a big block. So, yeah, there's just so many wonderful things. It's just we're just very blessed.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Ronald calling from Racine, Wisconsin. Ronald, you're on the air.
We're talking about significant remains to be found, about the relating to the Bible and the works of God. And I was wondering today, how much are they going to find about Mount Ararat, about the great boat that was created for...
Well, the Ark of the of Noah, yes. I don't know really, because it's a difficult area to get to. Different people have claimed that some of the Ark still exists, but I'm not sure about that. I believe that the whole earth was flooded, and then when the flood waters receded, the people came out of the Ark, and they had to build homes and everything else. Well, what would you use? I think you'd use the timber that was in the Ark to start with. So I'm not sure there's a great deal left. But there is certainly so much evidence within the sediment and everything else. And virtually every culture around the world has flood stories. Mm-hmm. So I don't doubt it existed.
Thank you, Ronald, for the call. Let's go to Ada calling from New Hampshire. And one moment, Ada, I'll be right with you here. And let's do this here. Okay, we'll get our numbers and buttons pushed. Ada, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, I would like to know if there is any evidence about the giants mentioned in the Old Testament.
Okay, thank you, Ada. Any evidence for giants living?
We haven't discovered the actual skeletons. Some people say they have, but when archaeologists have gone to look at them, they are not human. So at the moment we haven't, but it does make you wonder when you look at the size of things like the pyramids in Egypt. You know, there must have been some really big guys around to build some of these things. So I think it's by what has survived that maybe points to the truth, as I believe it is, mm-hmm. in the Bible.
Oh, thank you, Ada. Appreciate your call. We have some open lines here. Our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Brian is calling from Stevens Point. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Jim. Thanks for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
What I would say to people, if you're a skeptic, is go to Israel. Because once you go there, you will not be a skeptic. I was there 2 years ago.
I walked through Hezekiah's tunnel, and it's exactly where it says it is in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 32:30, where the Gihon Spring that Hezekiah retunneled. And wow, it's exactly where the Bible says it is.
Thank you for sharing that here, Brian. And I believe that's something that you've been pointing to, Clive, is when you actually come and see these things, or as he said, walking through that tunnel, or seeing, as the scripture refers to these items, it's just as it was said.
Yes, for me, the most amazing is the Galilee, to see the lake there, because sometimes some things have churches built over them. Well, Galilee at the moment is too big to build a church over all the water. But you know, when you're there, you know, the scripture just comes so alive. You know, Jesus walked on this, he talked around here. It's if any of you who are listening can get to Israel, please do.
You have a picture in your book of something called the Jesus boat. Tell us about it.
Yes, it was discovered when there was a drought, and the water receded. And then they found the remains of this boat that was there. It's a remarkable thing. And the scholars who came in did an incredible job of preserving it. So it's actually there in the museum now at the north end of Galilee. We have to be very careful what we say. But there's a high degree of probability that even if he didn't travel in it, Jesus would have seen what we look at, which is, again, very remarkable.
Dated to the period of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes, very much so.
We have Ben calling from Olney, Illinois. Ben, you're on the air.
Hi, I've been seeing things on the Internet about archaeology digs with the city of David in Jerusalem. I'm wondering if you have any comments about, like, what that might be, or kind of information you have about that.
Yes, it is fantastic what they're doing there now. They're excavating all the time. They do a marvelous presentation before you go around the site. And it brings to life the scriptures, because David's palace is up high and the city is like a series of steps, goes all the way down at Zion. And you can imagine David in his palace and looking out and seeing this woman called Bathsheba taking a bath, because he would be looking down where she was. So it is an absolutely splendid spot to go and see. And again, if you can do it, I recommend you do.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, thanks.
David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Phil, I realize that Enoch is not part of the canon, but it used to be taught in churches for many years, and I was wondering if anything was found to verify how old the book of Enoch might be.
No, not at the moment. We would have to go back to those who do textual studies to let us know, but no, I don't know what the earliest one is for that.
Thank you, David. Roy in Bayside, you're on the air.
Is there any currently available evidence supporting the story, which I believe, of the first King Herod's massacre of the innocent children in his attempt to kill Christ?
There is no direct evidence. I haven't found any bones or anything, but from what we know of Herod, he was a very nasty man. He killed many members of his family because he was jealous. And it was very much in keeping with his character, taking all these people out if they got in his way. So many scholars do not doubt that he actually did order the massacre of the innocents, as they're called, at Bethlehem.
Is there evidence of King Herod, though?
Oh, yes, there's a lot. We've got coins of his. We've got his great building works, a place called Herodium near Bethlehem, which was the site of his burial. He was, staggeringly, he was a more famous and a greater builder than King Solomon. So many of his structures still survive.
It's ironic that many modern liberals who support abortion cast doubt upon Herod's story. Maybe it makes them feel guilty by comparison.
Well, I agree with you, yes. Abortion is terrible when it's used just as a contraception, isn't it?
Yeah. And yeah, at any point. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate your call. We have some open lines again here at 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Mark is calling from Walla Walla, Washington. You're on the air.
Yes, just wondered if there's been any opportunity for you to verify the findings in the Red Sea when the children of Israel were crossed being chased by Pharaoh's army. Have you seen any actually gotten evidence of that?
Yeah, Ron, I've forgotten his surname, but he made these claims, and unfortunately that they've been looked into and nothing has been discovered. He also made the claim that what's called Gordon's Calvary, he found the site of Jesus' cross, and if you look, there's a hole in the ground, and you'll see the Ark of the Covenant on it, and it still has some of Jesus' blood on it. Well, you know, we're going into the realms of fantasy, I'm afraid. I'd love it, but to know we haven't discovered anything yet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question here today, Mark. And 1-800-733-9829 is our number. Doug in Waukegan, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering, are there any new Red Sea discoveries?
Not as such, no. That they are doing a lot of work. It is an area that is quite a difficult area to look into, but I believe it was the Red Sea that parted and the children of Israel walked through it. But we're still waiting for more permission to get down to look at these things. And, of course, on the other side at the moment is Saudi Arabia. So that is very difficult to get Christians in there to excavate.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Doug. Has there been a lot of opposition from some of these nations that really take us back to biblical times, opposition to, and you kind of referenced Saudi Arabia, but other locations as well?
Yes, you do obviously get different things. I get challenged when I go around the British Museum. I've had some people saying I'm favoring the Jews over the Arabs. When I just point out the artifacts, and I said, well, look, I'm not doing anything of the sort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just showing you what is here. And, yes, it is very difficult, isn't it? And one of the most amazing things that have happened that has come out of Iraq, due to the terrible things that Islamic State did, is at Nineveh, there was a mosque they dedicated to Jonah. They blew it up. And archaeologists have just got in there and discovered the Assyrian king, Esarhaddon, who's mentioned in the Bible, many things to do with him. So there's always new things coming out of the ground.
So, and that's very interesting because here their intent was to destroy that which they, you know, believe pointed even to the historicity of Scripture, but only to find that in their destruction they find even more.
Yeah, God is very merciful to us.
Yes.
It's very sad what they did, of course, but a little bit of good has come out of the terrible situation.
We're going to take a break here in just a moment and come back to more of your phone calls. We've got several people online right now, but time doesn't, we're not going to get another call in before the break. So let me just mention again the book Evidence for the Bible. It's a hardcover book, 250 pages approximately. It's got a wonderful index. If you want to find out about, you know, a key person, Hezekiah, Hiram, Hosea, Jacob, James, Jehu, I mean, you can go to their name and look back in the book to find evidence then that has been uncovered. Not only a scripture index, but folks, this is a beautiful four-color book and presentation, hardback book, perfect not just for display purposes. It can be on display, but to pick up and certainly be a testimony to your children, your grandchildren, to yourself, to assist in your teaching on these things. It's available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $30 or more that includes shipping to you. It's available at VCYAmerica.org or by calling us at 800-729-9829. It's one of those books you pick up. It's hard to put down. You'll find yourself keep going back to it as well. We'll be back in just 1 minute with more of your calls here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. We're looking now toward Resurrection Sunday, and the strongest evidence for the truth claims of Jesus Christ is his resurrection from the dead. In Matthew 12, the Pharisees asked Jesus to give them a sign that everything he says is true. Jesus replied by saying, quote, "No sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, end quote. My friends, Jesus foretold his own death, which anyone could do if he were willing to arrange his own death. But my friends, Jesus also foretold his resurrection. And then he actually rose from the dead, and he appeared to so many, both the skeptics, the critics, and the believers. In fact, Paul says, go talk to the skeptics. They saw the risen Lord. He's risen indeed.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about Evidence for the Bible, a book co-authored by our guest today, Clive Anderson, along with Brian Edwards, and taking your phone calls here on Crosstalk. We're going to Pensacola, Florida next. Don, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim, and appreciate you having this brother Clive on there.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, this might not be his area of expertise, but I was wondering, I'm a King James Bible reader and studier. And I was wondering if there was any evidence that they found that supports the Hebrew Masoretic text for the Old Testament. And
well,
the Greek...
Yes, they're always making discoveries regarding the text. And it's constant. The people in Cambridge, England, have just produced a new Greek New Testament, which they think is the best that they've been able to get hold of, but it keeps coming out, they have to say, at the moment, because there are all these discoveries being made. So it's I couldn't give you the exact details, but I could find them out, I'm sure.
Hmm. Thanks, Don. Faith in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Hello, sirs. There is a young man in London that has come from America to do street preaching. I would like to recommend this godly young man. His name is Ryan. But my question would be about scientism. There is a very old map that shows the earth as flat. And there is a lot of symbolism in the Bible. Do you have a perspective on the flat earth theory?
Yes, it's quite an interesting theory. But if you actually read, especially in the Psalms, you seem to get this overwhelming impression that the earth is not flat. And you can go back and look at some of these ancient cultures, and they realized the earth wasn't flat because they traveled huge distances. We have an interesting problem with some of the Egyptian pharaohs in that they were discovered with tobacco in their lungs. Well, how did it get there? Because tobacco wasn't meant to come to Europe until the 1600s AD. So I think there was a lot of trade in the ancient world, and that they actually knew, you know, had to navigate somehow, that the world was spherical and not flat.
And Faith, we have done a program on that with a guest from Answers in Genesis Ministry, and I'd certainly refer you to that. And matter of fact, at answersingenesis.org, they have some tremendous articles that address these very issues. Daniel is calling from Loveland, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Say, I got on the program without understanding the name and qualifications of your guest there. That was my first question, if you could mention that. And then also, this is not actually excavation work, but I wondered if he has any knowledge about Israel having an oil supply there. Are they going to ever be able to be independent oil-wise?
Well, firstly, I am a pastor of a church, and I've always had an interest in these things since I was a young child. And have developed them and belong to all sorts of societies and everything else and read as much as I can.
David, Daniel, we'll have a more extensive biography that we gave early in the program. That will be up on our website.
All right,
this as well.
And yes, they have discovered quite a large deposit of oil. And if it is tapped in the right way, I think it will make Israel very rich indeed.
Phil is calling from Mitchell, South Dakota. You're on the air, Phil.
Yes, even though I've never been there, what is your guest's opinion of the Museum of the Bible that just opened up in Washington, D.C.?
Sadly, I haven't been yet. It's something I want to come and see, but mm-hmm. from what I've seen of it, it looks terrific. And I'd certainly recommend a visit.
And that's been newly opened as of November,
yeah.
So it's just 4 or 5 months now that it's been open. Thank you, Phil. We have Zoltan in Port Charlotte, Florida. You're on the air.
Maranatha, brothers and sisters in Christ, which is means the Lord is coming. God bless you all. I just want to tell you that from Isaiah 17, it clearly says we're seeing that what's happening in Syria. Isaiah 17, 1, it says, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city and will be ruinous heap. Not even talking about the Second Timothy 3 on the last days, what mm-hmm. kind of people it's going to be, Second Timothy 4 it's talking about. So that's enough evidence we can see that what's happening, and the Bible is true.
Amen. It is true. And as we're pointing out today, not only what we observe today, but the stones cry out as well. One last call, Stephen in Mills, Wyoming. You're on the air.
Yes, I was curious. I was surfing the internet and saw some stones that were purported to be where the tabernacle at Shiloh was during the days of Eli, and I was wondering what he thought about that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I think there is a very strong possibility that it was there. Because it was during the time of the Judges and 1 Samuel, wasn't it? It was set up there. And so it's Israeli archaeologists don't make statements unless they are pretty sure of something. And certainly the holes in the ground are the right distance apart to support the tabernacle. So I think there is a strong possibility it actually existed in that place.
Thank you, Stephen. And let me just ask, we have just less than a minute left here, Clive, and that is as we approach the time when we remember not only the death and burial, but also the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your comment on how archaeology even points out here.
Well, I think it's interesting that Peter, the Apostle Peter, was almost like an archaeologist on the day of Pentecost. He didn't mention the tomb of Jesus, but he said the patriarch David's tomb is here to this day. So by implication, where Jesus was laid is now empty. And I think the resurrection is the game changer. There is no other religious leader who has died and 3 days later arisen again and started this wonderful movement that we call Christianity. So I just think the very fact that there is a Christian church today, that we can know peace in this life and hope for the future, shows us the truth of these things.
Amen. Clive, thank you so much for taking the time, not only for all the research into this book, but also sharing your time with us on the air today as well.
It's been a pleasure. May God bless you all.
Amen, and to you as well. Clive
thank
Anderson,
you.
Our guest today, who has co-authored Evidence of for the Bible with Brian Edwards. And, folks, it's available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $30 or more. You can learn more about it on our website, vcyamerica.org, or by calling us at 800-729-9829. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.